sipped and took the glass of wine she offered. That was normal, to indulge after a hard week at work and laugh with your friends over a glass of wine. This was all normal. I could be normal. Carter wasn't normal, but I couldn't only have him in my life now. So, what do you want to watch? She indicated to the couches, and soon we were both situated with blankets, the pizza on the table, and the second bottle of wine beside it. As I watched her gather everything, she flushed and murmured, "I get lazy once I'm on that couch. I don't like to get up. Don't judge me." "Never." I couldn't contain the smile that stretched from ear to ear. Teresa was exactly the friend that I needed. It was after the second movie and the second bottle of wine when someone knocked on her door. I fell off the couch, my heart pounding, but Teresa scowled at the door. There was no fear. There wasn't even surprise. She sighed as she stood from the couch, a little clumsier than normal. "Excuse me while I deal with this." "With this?" I slunk down on the couch so they couldn't see me, but I tried to peek over the edge. As she opened the door wider and I heard a masculine voice, my mouth fell open. Did Teresa have a boyfriend and not tell me? Well, I rolled my eyes. I hadn't been forthcoming about my life at all. I couldn't blame her for not sharing her personal life. Then I heard her snap, "Noah, you never told me!" I gave up on peeking and fell to the floor beside the couch. That was my boss. He growled from irritation and stepped back. "I did too. I told you about the family dinner last week." "Yeah," Teresa held her own. "You told me you never invited me. I thought you were just being a selfish prick, like normal."
"Oh, you make me crazy,"
she snorted. "You do that fine just by yourself. I don't do a thing to make you crazy." Her voice softened. "Your mother must be so angry with me."
"Don't worry. She blames me, said I must have done something to piss you off."
"Look, come in. I'll call your mom and square everything away. I have company, so I can't come anyway."
"You have company?"
Interest and alarm spiked in his tone.
"Who?"
"A friend."
He snorted this time. "You don't have any friends."
She growled. "I'd slam this door in your face if I didn't have to call your mother."
"Okay,"
he mocked her. "Whatever. Come in, be nice to my friend." She turned around and grabbed her phone from the table beside me. As she bent, she flashed me an apology, but she spoke to the big guy who had followed her inside. "You might want to be professional. She works for you." And then she flounced out of the room, lifting the phone to her ear as she went. I sat up. So this was Noah Tomlinson. I never met the guy, but had seen photographs of him. There'd been a few from when he had been an MMA fighter, and plenty from when he won the national championship. He wore jeans and a sweater that stretched across his chest in an impressive manner. The guy was huge, and as I caught his gaze, I knew he was intelligent. A cloud of suspicion and leering was in his gaze as he raked me up and down. I expected the owner of the Richmond to stick his hand out, smooth back his hair, and become the sleazy smooth talker most of the guys at the top level were. He didn't. His frown deepened, and he leaned against the island counter in the kitchen. He folded his arms, making his chest seem even bigger, and scowled at me.
"Who are you?"
He didn't know. But he must have. "I'm Emma Martins." His eyebrows shot up, and everything vanished. Shock and something close to panic came over him. He glanced to where Teresa had gone, and, when he heard she was still on the phone, dropped his voice to a whisper.
"What are you doing here?"
Huh? Teresa and I are friends. We're working together. You put us together." He growled from the back of his throat.
"I didn't expect this. I knew you'd work together, but..."
He glanced where Teresa was again.
"She doesn't know your relationship with Carter, does she?"
"My relationship with Carter? Did he? What relationship?" "No, no one does." "Well, he did." I narrowed my eyes. "What do you mean you didn't expect this?" He frowned again.
That was my mistake. I'm sorry. But you really need to go. You should cut your friendship with Teresa, too. She hates Carter. My eyes threatened to pop out. She knew Carter? He amended. I mean, she hates the idea of him. She's never met him, don't worry, but she knows he's a friend of mine and connected to the mob. She doesn't approve of our friendship. And if she knew your relationship with him... He whistled and shook his head. It would not be pretty. Trust me. How do you two know each other? He shrugged. Family friends. Her parents were friends with my parents. We took her in when they died.
Oh.
His eyes narrowed again. You're not here trying to get her money, are you? What? But then I glanced around. She had money. I saw that from before, but I wondered how much she had. Then I remembered who I was living with and replied, "You think I'm scamming her for money?" "Oh, yeah." He relaxed and flashed me a grin. It transformed his face. I saw why a lot of the females at work whispered about his deliciousness. He didn't have the classic model looks that Carter had, but when his mouth turned into a smile, it lit his face up, and he was handsome in a manly and rough-looking way. I knew that appealed to a lot of women.
"I forgot your connections. Maybe she's scamming you."
I could tell by how his mouth curved up in a crooked grin that he was kidding. I was a little insulted. I might have grown up with a scammer, but I never did cons. AJ never allowed it, and after he died, I was determined to be successful without resorting to low-level ways of making money.
"Look," his jaw tightened and his voice grew rough. "I really am sorry. I didn't mean anything by that, just that Teresa's been targeted before because of her money. She doesn't have a lot of friends because she's too damn trusting. I tell her to steer clear of everyone, but she tries every now and then. They never end well. That's what I thought before I knew who you were."
That would explain Teresa's lack of friends, but I couldn't shake his suspicion. He was covering up for it, but it was there. I didn't know if my relationship with Carter kept it there or made it worse. My gut told me that he would have been suspicious of me with Carter in my life or not.
"Okay."
Teresa returned with a smug smile on her face. She threw an arm around Noah's shoulders and bumped her hip into his.
"It's all good with your mother."
He studied her with a slight sneer.
"Tell me you didn't."
Her smile stretched from ear to ear.
"I did."
I frowned. He groaned.
"Whatever deal you struck with my mother, I'm out. I have a date tonight."
"No, you don't."
She laughed and poked him in the chest. "Well, yes, you do. With me and Emma." She continued. "Brianna got a job at Octave. I told your mother that we'd go and check on her."
"Brianna did what?"
Noah exploded.
"You did what?"
"Yeah, I did."
Teresa struck a cocky pose with her hand on her hip. "And you can be damn pleased with me because I told your mother that we'd go and check on her. In return, she's not going to hold it against you that you didn't invite me to the family dinner tonight."
"What family dinner? Brianna wouldn't have been there."
His jaw clenched as he said it.
"She got a job at Octave? What the hell was she thinking? That place is dangerous."
Teresa frowned. "She's probably thinking it's the coolest job in the world. You go there all the time."
"I do not."
"You take me there all the time."
"Oh, yeah."
But as his jaw continued to clench and unclench, his anger was obvious.
"How the hell did she get a job there?"
"What do you mean?" "The owner probably lured her there. He's sucking up to be your friend, Noah. He always does this."
Her voice rose a notch, and his head slunk down. I got the distinct impression this was a fight they had often. My boss shot me a guarded look. There was also an apology there, as Teresa started to talk more.
"Why you're friends with someone like him is beyond my comprehension. He's bad news, Noah. He's nothing but a..."
"Teresa,"
he interrupted, and shot me a pointed look.
"Oh."
She flushed and turned to me. "I'm sorry, Emma. I don't like one of Noah's friends, but that's not something you need to worry about. I'm really sorry. I forgot you were here." Then she blinded me with her white teeth.
"Want to go dancing tonight?
Noah knows the owner of Octave. I might not like the guy, but his club is hot to go to.
Oh, dear. I wasn't sure how to react.
She misunderstood. Oh, you don't have to worry. Trust me. I know the place can be dangerous, but whenever I go with Noah, we always get the VIP treatment. We get our own entrance and a private box. It's completely safe. For us.
When I didn't say anything, she grabbed my hand and squeezed it.
She gushed. I promise you'll have fun. And it's not like we'll even see the guy. He's barely ever at the club. He's so important and powerful that he doesn't have time for his friend.
As she said the last statement, her voice grew thick with sarcasm.
Noah rolled his eyes. Can you stop griping? You've never met the guy.
She shot him a dark look.
I don't need to have met him. He's bad news, Noah. I don't know why you refuse to see that about him. He's only using you for the Richmond. You're the one who told me he wanted to buy some shares last year.
He shook his head and grumbled, I didn't say he wanted to buy shares. I said I offered him more shares.
She straightened to her fullest height and squared her shoulders back.
You're crazy for being friends with him.
Drop it, Teresa. You don't know the guy, you don't know my friendship with him, and...
He sent another pointed look in my direction.
You really want to hash this out in front of your newfound friend?
That did it. The tension left her in the next second, and she squeezed my hand again.
I'm sorry, Emma. I get so angry sometimes.
I tried to give her a reassuring smile back.
Oh, that's okay. We all have our secrets, I guess.
Well, it's not really a secret, but it's not an argument that needs to happen tonight. I invited you over because I thought it would be fun.
This'll be fun, too. You'll come to Octave with us?
She gave me a puppy dog look.
Well, this was going to be interesting.
I nodded, but as Teresa cheered and Noah frowned, I wasn't sure how this night was going to unfold. When we headed downstairs and piled into Noah's car, I saw my car parked behind us. Oh, great. I hadn't considered what to tell Mike and the other guards. But when Noah pulled into traffic and my car started to follow, I realized that they already knew what I was doing. I only hoped Carter wouldn't get mad about the change in plans.
Carter.
Sir.
Carter glanced towards the door and saw one of his men. He stood from the table and left his business associates behind. When they stepped into the hallway, his man waited until the door was closed before he told him.
The boyfriend met with a Bartel. They found him?
No, sir. He went to them.
Carter's eyes whipped up.
Are you sure?
He clipped his head in a nod.
Yes, sir. We held back, but when he returned to the apartment, he had a briefcase with him.
What was in it?
Money, sir.
Carter's eyes closed in a grimace. He knew what that meant.
Are you certain?
He opened it in the car. Vance got a picture of it. It looks like a lot of money, too.
Okay.
He sighed.
Double the guards on her. Make sure they blend.
Carter returned to his meeting, but it took a few minutes before he was able to concentrate on what they were telling him. His mind was on Emma, and what this meant for her. He didn't like it. It happened too fast for his liking. The time to tell her what was going on was nearing, but he didn't want that. Not yet. It was too soon for her to be as scared as she needed to be.
13. As Noah neared Octave, my phone buzzed. When I saw it was from Carter, my entire body grew warm.
Teresa had insisted that I dress up. She threw a white dress to me. I hadn't expected much, but when I put it on, it was the perfect choice. It hung low on me. The ends of the dress touched my toes, but the front of it separated. Instead of an actual dress, it was two lengths of cloth.
Teresa tied it around, so each one covered my breasts, and wrapped around my torso once.
She declared I was a goddess, and I had to admit that I felt like one. I was even more grateful now that I had listened to her advice. Tingles of excitement and nerves soared through me. But when I read it, a rush of desire made my head spin.
I'm coming back tonight. Finished my work in one day. I'm flying back now. Where are you?
I replied, We'll be at Octave soon, going with my friend who knows your friend, Noah Tomlinson.
Thomas and Mike?
In the car behind me. I rode with Noah and Teresa. She's my friend I told you about.
Stay close to Noah. He can fight, and we'll protect you. The guys will watch over you at the club.
Who are you texting? My head jerked up, and I almost dropped my phone as Teresa frowned at me. Her eyes fell to my phone, and warmth surged to my cheeks as I fumbled to keep my screen hidden. I knew I was redder than red. I must have been a lobster, because Teresa grinned and lifted an eyebrow. Do you have a boyfriend, Emma? You haven't mentioned him all week. I want to know. I slid my eyes to Noah, who had tensed behind the steering wheel. You didn't mention a few things yourself. Her mouth clamped shut, and her cheeks grew pink. Point taken. Well done. She chuckled as she turned back around. But I want to know all about him. No, you don't. You really don't. I looked in the rearview mirror and saw that Noah had been watching me. I could tell he shared my unspoken thought. From what I had been told and heard, Teresa would not like Carter's relationship with me. And yes, I frowned and hung my head. I just admitted to myself that there was something between us. I sucked in my breath and my hands started to tremble. My stomach churned and formed knots, but I had to admit that something was growing between Carter and me. He hadn't said anything outright to me, but he desired me. I knew it. I felt it. But during the past week, he never made a move. He was always home when I returned from work. We had dinner every night. After that first night, I never used my bed again. When I got sleepy, he would lead me to his. He always held me in his arms and stroked my back until I fell asleep. There were a few times when I would wake in the middle of the night, and he was gone. The first time I checked the gym, but he wasn't there. I remained awake for the rest of the night, until he returned after 5 in the morning. No light was turned on, but I heard him return to the room and slide back into bed with me. He drew me back against his chest and wrapped his arms tight until I felt his chest move up and down in a deep sleep. When his breath evened out, I fell asleep as well. The second and third time when I woke to find him gone, I didn't search for him. I fell back asleep and woke again when he returned to the bed. I always snuggled back into his arms, and when I would leave for work in the mornings, he woke as well. He never seemed tired. He was always alert, and he had coffee and breakfast ready for me by the time I made it to the kitchen. Then he'd ride with me to my job. Every morning, he would give me a kiss as I left the car. But he never kissed me when we were at home or in his bed.
I will come to you and find you there.
I bit my lip. I could only imagine Teresa's reaction. Maybe you shouldn't.
Why?
Teresa is protective of Noah. She doesn't like you.
Has she met me?
I couldn't hold back my grin. He didn't even know. No, but your reputation speaks for itself.
She doesn't have to see me for me to see you. I will find you.
I wasn't aware of the breath I'd been holding until I let it loose. Goodness, there was a promise and something ominous in his last text. Every nerve was stretched tight and ready for him. The throbbing had started when I got his first text. It was too much for me by the last one. Carter was making me go crazy over the past week. I wanted him. It was to the point where I needed him. I couldn't think straight when it came to him. We're here. As I looked out the windows, I was surprised to see that we had pulled into the alley beside Octave. Then I remembered the couple I watched from the street as they were hurried through a side door into the club. When a door opened and two large men stepped outside, I knew it was the same thing. Noah opened his door and stepped aside as Teresa crawled over his seat and hopped out of the car. My door was open, and a giant stood next to it, waiting for me to do the same. As I got out, I glanced around and saw that Mike stepped next to one of the guys from the club. He blended in with them. "Come on, Emma,"
Teresa called from inside. Mike nodded for me to go in, so I did. He followed behind, along with three other men. As I joined Noah and Teresa in a small hallway, I saw another two men with them. She gave me a squeal and wrapped her arms around me for a hug. Her body was riddled with delight. "This is going to be so much fun," she whispered into my ear. "I'll never admit this to Noah, but I do like that he knows the owner sometimes. We always get the best treatment here, and this place is amazing. I just don't want them to be as close as they are. The owner scares me." I hugged her back, but shook my head. A week ago, I never would have thought Teresa was the kind to let loose and go to a club like Octave. A lot of things would have surprised me a week ago. And a part of me was getting riled the more she badmouthed Carter. I understood. She obviously knew he was connected to the mob, but she had never met him. And at that thought, a different anxiety filled me. What would she think if she did meet him? Would she not want to be my friend? Or would she want more to do with Carter? I wasn't a fool. I could tell that some of her reaction to Carter was from the intrigue and how the media portrayed him. Carter was seen as a real-life mobster from the movies. He had the smoldering looks, but he was out of reach for so many. He was too powerful.
"Ma'am."
I jumped at Mike's one-word reminder. Noah and Teresa had followed the other two guards down the hallway. They paused halfway and waited for me, frowning at me. Mike and the other three guards stood behind me. I shook my head as I started towards them. Tonight was going to be interesting indeed. We were shown into a box that opened to a shared dancing area with two other boxes. The six guards took up positions against the wall and were camouflaged by the dark shadows. After a while, it seemed as if they weren't even there. However, Teresa kept glancing at one of the bigger guys. She said to Noah in an awed voice, "Your friend is really pulling out all the stops with you tonight." She flashed to Noah a knowing smirk, but he ignored her and frowned in my direction. We both knew the truth. They were there for me. It was at that moment a guy came in and approached Noah. He oozed sleaze. He was dressed in a business suit. Everything was flashy about him. His hair was gelled into spikes. His teeth were perfectly white. This was the slicked-back type of guy I thought my boss would have been. The two shook hands and clasped each other on the shoulder. It wasn't long until Noah motioned Teresa over. The three of them talked for a few more minutes as drinks were brought in by two servers. Then, as I watched, Teresa laid her hand on the guy's arm and motioned for him to bend down. She whispered something in his ear, smiling at Noah the whole time, whose frown had reappeared. Then they were laughing again. For some reason, I wanted to melt into the background. I must have inched backwards without realizing it, because a hand touched my elbow in a discreet manner. I jumped, turning to see Mike behind me. He gave me a small nod.
"Ma'am."
I sighed. "Mike, you can use my name by now." He gestured towards Teresa.
"Your friend might be jealous, ma'am."
I grinned, but he was right. She wouldn't be jealous, but she'd be curious. He had heard her thoughts on Carter, all of the guards had heard. "Emma, come over here." Everything inside of me clenched, but I couldn't ignore Teresa. For some reason, I didn't want to be anywhere close to the other man. However, as she crossed and grabbed my arm, she dragged me over to them and squeezed my shoulders. "This is my friend Emma. Emma, this is Scott. He's the night manager at Octave." A seductive smirk appeared as he held his hand out for me.
"Emma, it's very nice to meet you."
Noah snorted in the background. With my skin itching, I shook his hand but released it as quickly as possible. I tried to smile so he wouldn't know how uncomfortable I was, but I couldn't stop the dark chill that went down my back. "It's nice to meet you too, mister." "Emma!" "What?" I glanced at Teresa. Her mouth hung open as her eyes had widened. "What?"
"Mister?"
Scott grimaced, but he still grinned at me.
"I haven't been called that by anyone except my niece's little friends. They call me Mr. Scott. Please, call me just Scott.
I nodded, but moved back a step. Noah chose that moment to pinch Teresa's side. She rounded on him, but he ducked her arm as he chuckled and moved at the same time. As he settled in front of me, blocking me from Scott, I knew the entire thing had been on purpose. I was grateful. He wrapped an arm around Teresa's waist as he touched his drink to Scott's.
So, I hear my little sister is working for you. How'd that happen?
Then Scott laughed, tipping his head back.
She came in here and asked for an interview. How could I deny the little sister of the great Noah Tomlinson? She's a good worker, Noah. You should be proud of her.
Noah's shoulders stiffened.
It's her first night. She's been doing great so far. I'm sure she'll be one of the best girls within a few months. She could move all the way up to bartending the privates pretty soon. As long as she sticks to the bartending services, Scott.
A dark warning was in his tone.
Yeah, of course.
A sick laugh left him.
What else did you think I meant? You don't think I'd do that to your little sister, do you?
Does Carter know Brianna is working here?
Why would the big man know? That's my job.
An uptight tension settled over the group. Scott's tone turned sour.
I do the hiring and firing.
He paused for a beat.
You don't want me to fire your little sis on her first night, do you, Noah? Teresa said you were here to check on her and make sure she was doing a good job. I'm getting the opposite feeling here. I know Brianna would be upset.
During the exchange, I had floated back to where I felt comfortable. It wasn't a conscious decision, but I relaxed when I felt Mike beside me. Teresa gave both men a strained smile. Come on, guys. I'm feeling thirsty, Scott. Could you order some wine for us? I promised Emma that we'd have wine tonight.
Already did.
Scott never blinked.
It's on the tray behind you.
The two didn't look away as they stared at each other. I couldn't take any more and turned to Mike. I don't want him here. He nodded and pressed his ear. He murmured something, and it wasn't long before someone cleared their throat from the entrance to the box.
Mr. Graham.
Scott turned in shock.
Jean, what are you...
His voice trailed off, and his eyes looked past the man.
Is Carter here?
I started forward to see what Jean looked like, but Mike grabbed my elbow and held me still.
Please, Emma.
I relaxed and stayed where I was.
Can you come with me, Mr. Graham? Why?
Scott frowned and glanced at Noah with a question in his eyes.
I'm here with friends, Jean. Whatever it is can wait until tomorrow unless Mr. Reed is here. Can you come with me, Mr. Graham?
The question was asked with a reinforced authority now. Scott's shoulders sagged. The small battle was over. He flashed an apologetic smile to Noah and Teresa and nodded to them.
I'm needed somewhere else, but I'll try to get back before the night is over.
He turned for me and frowned when he saw Mike's hand on my arm.
It was nice to meet you, Emma.
I gave him a small smile, but Mike never moved his hand. Scott didn't move. He remained and stared at me. It was another minute before Jean cleared his throat again.
Mr. Graham.
Then he shook his head and turned to leave. As soon as he left, Mike's hand fell from my arm and I felt like I could breathe again. I didn't know what it was, but I was jarred from his presence. I looked up. Mike... Are you going to say something? The question fell from my lips. He gave me a small grin, and I knew that Carter already knew. It was why Jean had appeared, Carter's personal bodyguard. Then I frowned. Is Carter already here? But Mike had resumed his original bodyguard stance back up against the wall. He blended with the shadows to be invisible, so I knew he wouldn't be answering that question. That was... odd. Teresa was frowning to herself as she poured a glass of wine from the tray a server had left. She shook her head. Oh, well,
Emma, would you like a glass?
I nodded, relieved, as I crossed back to them. My knees were a little unsteady. It was an hour later, after two bottles of wine and most of the time spent on the small dance floor, when Teresa went in search for the private bathroom. As I limped my way to our seats, Noah handed me a bottle of water and patted the chair next to him. I collapsed onto it, but I wasn't expecting what happened next.
Thank you.
He cast a glance over his shoulder to make sure Teresa was out of earshot.
I hate that guy. He makes my skin crawl, but I never knew if I could say something to Carter or not. I know you did that tonight.
Shivers went down my back again as I remembered his sick laugh. I just didn't like him.
You shouldn't. There are rumors that he broke whores in for the Mauricio family.
My stomach dropped. Why would Carter have him work here? He shrugged.
I don't know. As a favor, maybe? He won't anymore, not if he gives you the creeps. I know that much. Thank you. You have no idea. He's been sniffing around Brianna for the last 6 months. I'm sure he had something to do with her getting a job here.
I nodded. I shouldn't have been surprised. Why did you seem so happy to see him? Noah snorted, taking a sip from his beer.
You can't let a guy like that know what you really think of him. Not until you're in the position to actually do something about him, and I've never been in that position.
I nodded. That made sense, somewhat. I murmured, Teresa seemed to like him.
He's charming to most females.
He cast me a sidelong glance.
You seem to be the exception. Thank God.
An image of Jeremy raping Mallory flashed in my mind. My hand flew up to my mouth as I felt vomit come up, but I took a deep breath and swallowed it.
Emma?
I recovered, shaking my head. I'm fine. A dark feeling came over me. I've seen men worse than him before. I would have killed Jeremy Dunvin again if I was given a choice, but I would have enjoyed it the second time.
Ma'am.
Mike was at my side. At my look, he corrected himself.
Emma.
Yes?
Your ride is here.
My ride?
Carter.
Oh! Noah chuckled.
Go ahead. Teresa wants to stay out a while longer, I can tell. I'll tell her you've got a ride home. Tell Carter hello for me.
Nerves and excitement took over me when I realized what Mike was insinuating. I was distinctly aware that I reached out and gave Noah's shoulder a squeeze as I rose, but then I was walking out of the box area and following Mike. I was barely aware of the five other guards that followed as I was led through a back maze of Octave again. This time, the lights were still off, and a memory rushed at me. It was the night I had come to the club with my college roommate. She had slipped away to find her boyfriend, and I danced by myself until two hands slid around my waist. For one night, I gave in to temptation, and I allowed the touch of a stranger. I never saw him, but I felt him, and I never experienced those sensations again until Carter. The same need I felt that night, that I felt every time I thought of him, rose with a powerful intensity in me again. By the time I was shown through a door and into a darkened room, I couldn't control myself. I couldn't think straight. When I saw a shadow and felt his hand slide around my waist as I had that night, I turned into him. I surrendered everything to his touch, even before I said anything. I already knew that night had been with Carter. No other man ever made me feel as he had, and being back in Octave opened the floodgates. I wanted him even more. 14. It was you that time before, I gasped as Carter's lips brushed against my neck. He lingered on my pulse. His tongue swept against it as I tried to turn around to him. I needed to feel him against me, between my legs, but his arms tightened around me. He moved behind me and pressed into me. He murmured against my skin,
It was me.
I clasped a hand over his on the other side of my neck and held it there, claiming him, as I turned in his arms. His hand slid across the front of me, and I saw him. His eyes were dark with lust and need. I knew he saw the same in me, but I didn't care any longer. I needed him. But I remembered that night. My roommate left, and I'd been alone until I felt someone behind me. The liquor in me hadn't been enough to turn off all my inhibitions, but they had helped. My skin sizzled as I thought of that night again, how it had been him behind me. He whispered against my skin as he lowered his head.
I was in the security room. I saw you on the cameras and couldn't help myself.
His arms slid around to my back. He pressed a hand to my hip and anchored me against him. I gasped as he pressed his hips into me, but then he lifted and carried me to the corner. It was the same as that night. He held me suspended in the air, so I wound my legs around his waist. I felt him even more against me, and then his hands slid under the edge of my dress to the inside of my thighs. He felt the string of my thong in the apex between my legs and started to rub against it. Desire and pleasure rushed through me. I was feverish for him. I held on, urging him to do more. My hips began to move in rhythm with his hand, and it wasn't long before he swept my dress up, and his hand was against my skin.
"Carter," I whispered, my back and throat arched for him. He placed a kiss there, licking. "I need you inside of me."
He grunted, tightened his hold on my thigh, and slipped two of his fingers inside of me. They went deep before he pulled out and then pushed back in. As he continued, his tongue swept against my neck. I gasped. My hips moved, so his fingers slid even deeper. Then he pulled my mouth to his, and his lips claimed mine. His tongue swept inside, brushed against mine, and then grew more demanding as his fingers continued their onslaught.
"Please," I whimpered.
He'd held himself away from me all week. My body had been strained from wanting him all damn week. I wanted him, not his fingers. I wanted all of him.
"I want you."
His fingers continued their attack. They picked up speed, and I couldn't hold on to him anymore. It was building and building. I felt it nearing. Before it was there, so close, I shoved off the wall so only my head touched it. I pushed my hips against him, and he growled at the last thrust before I exploded in his arms. My body trembled as the waves washed over me. Carter held me up. I had gone limp in his arms. He pressed a tender kiss to my shoulder, then slid a hand underneath and cupped my breast. I wanted my dress gone. I wanted his clothes gone. I wanted his body on top of mine and with nothing between us. As I gazed down at him, as he still held me, he saw what I wanted and lowered me back down to the floor. Then he pulled me against him, pressed another lingering kiss against my lips, and whispered,
"Not here."
My eyes closed, and my head fell to his chest. He pressed another kiss.
"Soon."
My body had melted into liquid, and I was a puddle at his feet. His fingers helped smooth my dress back in place. When my hair was brushed back and I looked presentable, he grinned down at me and took my hand. His voice was hoarse.
"As soon as we get home, you won't walk for a week."
"I wish." Images of the two of us flashed in my mind and I grew wet again. He was going to be the death of me. A part of me knew that once I felt him inside of me, it wouldn't be enough. I would want more. I would never be satisfied. And when he made me come, that had only been the teaser. My body was primed and ready again. My hand slid down his muscular back. It felt all the ridges, all the dips and curves. A dark pleasure spread through me when I felt his muscles contract as he turned his head to see me. This was mine. He was mine. He groaned and had me against the wall in a second. His hands grabbed my hips and positioned me at an angle before he slammed his into mine. I felt the bulge in front of his pants. That was for me, all for me. He bent over me and lowered his lips just above mine as he thrust against me. I couldn't breathe. My hands held onto his arms. The muscles there also moved underneath my touch, as if wanting more.
"This,"
he growled in a whisper against my lips.
"This is what I wanted that night. I couldn't contain myself, and I had to taste you. But tonight is the night I really have you. You're mine, Emma. You always have been."
I nodded, so weak against his touch.
"Mine."
He was mine as well, but I didn't say it. Not yet, though everything in my body was aching for me to do so. He took my hand again and led the way out into the hallway. People stopped and watched us as we left. I knew it was because of him. Carter was lethal. His body was carved and molded to perfection. His eyes were cold, while his face resembled an angel's. Everyone knew who he was, where he had come from. Even the media went into a frenzy when he was seen in public. However, he moved like a ghost, how he trained his men to be. So those moments were rare, and this moment wasn't any different. His staff had seen him before, but they all went quiet in the presence of a deadly panther. A wave of possession rocked through me. My legs shook as I remembered my climax. This creature who held my hand was mine, as I was his. I belonged to him, and I gasped in silence as I felt his claim sink into my blood. It went deep to the bones. Everything in me belonged to him, and as I followed him through his club, I knew that I was becoming addicted to him. My hand yearned to touch his back again, to slide across his muscles, and so much more. I bit down on my lip. This ache wasn't going to go away. The ache between my legs and the ache that resonated deep inside of me grew every time I was with him, every time he looked and touched me. A soft sigh left me, and he glanced back. I was scorched by his gaze. His wolf eyes saw into me. I was stripped bare to him, no matter what I wore or how many walls were around my heart. He saw through everything. His hand tightened around mine, and he lifted it. His lips grazed against the top of it. My eyes closed. The ache doubled between my legs at that soft caress.
"Sir."
A man stepped out of the shadows, another guard. Carter stopped as he listened to what the man had to say. He spoke quietly so I couldn't hear, but both glanced at me. "What?" His eyes narrowed and darkened. His hold on my hand became possessive. I asked again, "Carter, what is it?" He turned, his decision made, and he curved a hand into the place between my shoulder blades. He started to walk with me down a hallway. As we got further along, I saw Mike waiting for us, and then I recognized it was the same box where I had left Noah and Teresa. I dug my feet in. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew he was going to leave me there. Something came up, and he needed to handle whatever it was, but I didn't want to be left behind.
"Emma?"
"No." I shook my head. "You're not leaving me." "Not again." He studied me, but then nodded. His hand tightened around mine again. My knees nearly buckled from relief as he turned to the man.
"Get the information and call me. Do it quick."
The man went off. He didn't need to be told again. He led me back through the hallways until we returned to the side entrance. It was our exit this time. A black car was waiting with the door open and Mike beside it. Carter gave him some signal because he left. As we drew closer to the door, he guided me into the seat by my hips and then slid beside me. When he reached to close the door, I jerked forward. Teresa and Noah had been waiting behind us for their car. Her mouth was hanging open while Noah was frowning. Oh, no. But the door was shut and the car took off. Carter had no idea what just happened, or he didn't care. I had a hard time believing that he didn't know Noah was behind us.
"What?"
Carter looked at me. I must have made some sound. "Oh, it's nothing." It wasn't worth talking about. He reached for my hand again and raised it for a soft kiss.
"Emma, tell me."
The knots in my stomach loosened at his touch, but I shook my head. This was embarrassing in a small way. "It's really nothing."
Emma,
he sighed. Is this about Graham? They told me you asked for him to be taken away. I'm sorry about him.
I should have seen that situation ahead of time, but I didn't. He won't bother you again, I promise.
I shook my head, but I was relieved when I heard that. Then I told him, Noah and his friend were waiting behind us.
I know.
You did? He nodded, his eyes lidded as he gazed at my lips. He reached up and ran his thumb over them. My heart skipped a few beats as his touch lingered. He leaned close and dropped his head, but he didn't kiss me. I was waiting, ready for it, but his hand pressed softly against my cheek.
I did, but I didn't think you wanted me to meet your friend.
I just met her this week. She's Noah's friend more. His hand tightened on my thigh. He pulled me closer to him.
Your friend, too. It was her home that you went to tonight, wasn't it?
I nodded. I was becoming flustered at how near we were to each other. I wasn't sure who was going to crawl into whose lap, but I was ready. I only waited for him to lift me.
Then she's your friend, too.
He grinned. The sight was delicious to me, and rested his forehead on mine.
Anyone who disapproves of someone connected to the mob seems all right to me. You don't need to worry that I won't like your friend, Emma. If she's as good to you as she has been to Noah over the years, I have no reason to dislike her.
And there it was. That was what I had been fearful about. Not what Teresa would think about Carter, but what he would think of her. It meant something to me that he approved of my one friend now. Actually, it meant a lot to me that he did. Another change in my life. I had three friends who I considered family, but now it was Carter. It was quickly becoming all about him.
What's wrong?
I shook my head, my throat thick with emotion. I didn't trust myself. I would start crying. I was sick of crying. He cupped the side of my face and turned me to look at him.
Emma.
The kindness in his eyes was my undoing. A few tears trickled from my eye and he brushed them away. His touch was tender. Carter, I wrenched out in a sob. He lifted me to his lap and folded me against his chest. The comfort I felt was home to me. I closed my eyes and burrowed into him. I stopped thinking and worrying about everything. I stopped fighting what I was feeling or how much hold this man had over my life. It wasn't only my life anymore. It was my heart. Even without the fear of Franco Dunvin, I knew I wouldn't want to leave him. It was like I had been watching him over the years and wanting to go to him, but I never had enough reason to. At that thought, reality hit me like a bucket of ice water. I sat upright on his lap and looked at him. Concern and lust intermingled with him. He waited for whatever I had to say. I sighed to myself. I should move away. I should protect my heart. But as I held his gaze, I couldn't. Different emotions battled each other inside of me, but all it took was one look from him. There it was. One look, and I was pulled to him. I would always be pulled to him. I knew it in my gut. Like an anchor thrown into the ocean, the deeper it sunk, the more I knew. I was in love with Carter Reed. As the anchor landed on the bottom of my stomach, it resonated throughout me. Shockwaves soared over my nerves and tendons. My arms shook. Even my legs felt the explosion. And then I wondered, had I always loved him? Carter?
Hmm.
His thumb pressed against my lips, but he looked up again. My voice grew husky. How did you do it? He knew what I was asking. His hand fell away and he leaned back against the seat, but his eyes never left mine. There'd been a soft playfulness in them before. That fell away to be replaced by a chilling look. It was still intense, but he reminded me of the cold killer everyone talked about. I started to move off his lap, but he kept my legs in place. They straddled him, so I waited, content to stay where he wanted me.
You want to know what happened after AJ died?
I nodded. I needed to know. I thought I did, but maybe I didn't know everything. You said they were looking for me. His hands tightened on my arms, an instant reaction to my words. He forced them to relax as he answered,
Yes, they were. Franco Dunvan is a monster, but I can't pretend that I'm not like him. I became like him.
Carter gazed at her. She was so earnest. She wanted to understand, and he saw that she needed to understand, but he still held back. Could she handle knowing everything? His man told him that Troy couldn't be reached. He was their confidant in Dunvan's organization, and he always got word back to them. But something had happened, or something was going to happen. The last communication they got from Troy was that the boyfriend had sold her out, and Franco's men were looking for her. She had to know, before it was too late. So he'd start from the beginning. She needed to be ready. 15. My lungs strained against my chest. It hurt to breathe, but I bit my lip and listened.
Franco didn't order the hit on AJ. Everyone thinks he did, and he took the credit. But it was Cristino who ordered it.
I closed my eyes as a shudder went through me, remembering my brother's pleas.
Please, Tamino, please.
Carter's voice grew rough.
It was Tamino, his little brother, who did the hit.
I felt his scrutiny as he added,
But you know that. You were there.
The image of Tamino raising the bat came back. It seared me.
So was I.
Reeling, I tried to slide off his lap. His hold on my thighs kept me anchored to him. He pulled me closer and kept going, now in a whisper against my ears.
I was upstairs. AJ was coming to me, and I saw it. But I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even get my window open long enough to yell down. Hell, not that I could have done anything, but I wanted to try.
He was there. My eyes were wide open now and unblinking, crushed against his chest. He was there. I couldn't get around that. His hand started to brush my hair back as he continued.
When it happened, I couldn't look away. And when they took that bat to him, that was the beginning for me, Emma.
Oh, God. A whimper left me. I burrowed into him now.
I already knew I was going to kill them, but then, when I saw you crawl out from that vent, I snapped. You saw the whole thing. They did that in front of you. But I replayed it in my head. I realized that they didn't know you were there. They couldn't have, because
his hand shook behind my head.
If they had, they would have killed you too. Or worse, they would have taken you with them.
There was no restraint now. His voice slipped, and the icy rage he felt that day was in him again.
I killed all of them, Emma. I'd do it again. I have done it again. I went to Tamino's house that afternoon. I went from room to room, and I sliced their throats. When that didn't work, and there were too many of them, I used their guns on them.
My hands turned into fists on his shirt. My shoulders bunched together, and I hated what I was hearing, but I had to hear it. A part of me wished that I had been there, that I had been the one enacting the revenge that I could only hear about. I was biting my lip, trying to keep everything in, and I tasted my own blood. But I didn't stop biting. I only bit down harder. Carter's voice had grown distant as he remembered that day. He took a deep breath, his chest lifted up and down.
I'm not going to tell you everything. I don't need to add to your nightmares, but when I was done at the house, I went to the Blue Chip and shot Cristino. I shot him and his two drivers in his office. There were a few more that I didn't know about until later, but I still killed them. I killed all of them. For you.
There was a hitch in his voice. but I didn't move. I stayed pressed against him, biting so hard that blood trickled out. I felt it slide down my chin and knew it covered him as well. It didn't matter. "You went to Mauricio after that?" I wrung out. My own voice was hoarse. It was painful to speak.
"I left the blue chip and took a cab to their warehouse. It was Favre who saw me first. I was damn lucky he did. I had blood on me by then. I don't know how I got it on me. I don't remember touching the bodies, but somehow it got all over my face. I'm surprised the cabbie didn't take me to the police. He could have. I was out of it by then, but yeah. It was Favre that saw me first. He remembered me from my dad. He'd been drinking buddies with him, but I knew he never approved of the beatings I got."
I remembered when Carter would sleep at our place. Almost every night, he would slip in through the patio door. He had never spoken about it when we were kids, and since I had come into his life again, the topic hadn't been raised. I remembered one night, when he had been laying on the couch, bruised and still bleeding. I never knew what to say. AJ ignored it. He did it because that's what Carter wanted. But I couldn't ignore it that night. I slept on the floor beside him. When I woke, his foot had slipped off the couch and rested against mine. I didn't move for hours. I held still until Carter took his foot away. When he woke, he never said a word. He got up and went back to his home. Thinking about it now, a few tears for him came back to me, but I remained quiet. When he wanted to talk about that, I would be there for him.
Favre vouched for me. He said I was a good fighter and loyal.
I knew the rest. They had taken him in, and there had been more massacres left behind by him. When I was taken into social services and shuffled between foster homes, I still heard stories about Carter Reed, the cold killer. The stories had stopped by the time I graduated high school. It wasn't until my first year at college that I realized why. He had moved up. Octave opened, and a few more clubs followed. 4 years later, Carter Reed had turned into a legend. He held me now and pressed another kiss to my cheek. He whispered,
"Franco Dunvan replaced Cristino in the Bartell family. They found out that everything I had done stemmed from AJ's death. Everyone knew he'd been my best friend, so he wanted to put a hit on you."
"What?" He nodded. His eyes were remorseful.
"But they couldn't. What I had done was too big. The police were never pulled in because Tomino's house was their base for making sex slaves. The Bartell family hid everything and cleaned it all up, but Franco wanted to avenge Cristino to make more of a name for himself."
Carter shook his head.
"We heard his elders never allowed it. You were too young and you were an innocent, but that didn't stop Franco from trying. He just never made any outright moves that the Bartell family could link back to him."
Everything in me hurt. It hurt to breathe. It hurt to feel. It hurt to think. It hurt to speak. But I rasped out, "They tried to hurt me? All my life?" He nodded, framing my face with both of his hands.
"I've been protecting you all your life, Emma. Mike and Thomas are only two in a long line of men that have been watching you. All your life. Since that day. This has all been for you."
He frowned.
"You were supposed to have a guard at the penthouse. He was taking a piss when you slipped past, but the others followed you."
He laughed now.
"I couldn't believe that one. He vowed he'd never piss again to me."
All my life? They'd been watching me all my life? I couldn't wrap my head around that. Wait, did he mean... I sucked in my breath. "Did you know about Jeremy Dunvan before I came to you?" He nodded, waiting for my reaction. My eyes were wide open, and panic rose. My chest felt tight. Something was pressing on it, but... I shook my head. It didn't make sense. He knew, but how? Why had he waited for me to come to him? I had looked away as I started to comprehend everything, but he turned me back to him. His eyes were tender, loving. His thumb brushed over my cheek.
My men took care of the body and the gun. That's why the report said he was missing.
But you never said anything to me. I remembered the hysteria inside of me, the panic at what had happened, how Franco Dunvin was going to kill us. I gulped for a breath. My heart was racing again.
I knew you'd be scared, but it was your decision, he murmured. I've always wanted you to be free as long as possible, but when you came to me...
Did your men know I was at Octave? He nodded.
I was already coming back when they got the call through to me. I knew you were there, and that you had decided to come to me.
He tilted my chin so I was eye level with him.
Finally.
You did all of that for me?
I would declare war for you.
He stole my breath again. It was becoming difficult to breathe around this man. I always felt like I was having a heart attack, and this was no exception. His hand fell down to my thigh, and he trailed it over to the inside of my legs. As I closed my eyes and rested my forehead against his fingers slid underneath my dress and slipped past my underwear for the second time that night. As I drew in a ragged breath, he pushed inside of me, all the way in. His breath was hot against my face, but I didn't move. I didn't want to move. He began to move in and out, and I trembled on top of him. When he pushed a second finger in and kept the same rhythm, I opened my eyes. I was so close to him. He was gazing back at me, an intense look on his face as his fingers sped up. I fought against making a sound, but I couldn't help myself. A soft moan escaped me. A smirk came over him, and he reached around the back of my head. He kept a firm hold there, but it didn't matter. I covered the small distance between us and touched my lips to his. A fuse was lit. It had already been lit, but when our lips touched, it erupted inside of me. I was burning up. His mouth opened and became more demanding. He commanded entrance. I gave it to him. I would give anything to him. I loved this man. I pressed harder against him. My hands clung to his shoulders, and I molded my body to his. I couldn't get close enough.
Emma,
he murmured against my mouth. My tongue swirled up and brushed against his. Carter. It was at that moment the car swerved, throwing me to the side. I would have fallen against the door, but Carter caught me. He held me in place as he pushed a button on the ceiling.
Jean.
The same low voice from the club came over the intercom.
Sir, there's three of them.
Carter held still for a moment, thinking. Then he slid me off his lap and pushed me until I was on the floor. A different look settled over him. A cold mask covered his face. He was no longer the Carter I knew, the one who held me and kissed me. This was the one who killed. And as that sunk in, everything changed. Time slowed until every second passed in rhythm with my heartbeat. The car slowed. Carter reached inside a hidden compartment and pulled out a gun. It was black, sleek, and lethal. It fit like a glove in his hand, and he moved closer to the door. Then he burst out, exploding out of the car. I jerked up from the floor as our car slammed to a halt. Doors were thrown open, rocking our car from the force as people charged from the front. Then I heard the screech of another car's brakes. Shouts were heard. Shots rang out in the air. Someone screamed. I opened my mouth, trying to hear myself, but I couldn't. It was as if someone had thrown a veil over me. I could see out, but I couldn't hear, not fully. Everything was muffled. Then pain exploded inside my head, and as the ringing started to dull, I could hear again. I could hear too much now.
Court!
Someone yelled. That sounded like Mike, was it? My heart was pounding. I started to move closer to the door.
Bang! Bang!
I swayed to the side as someone flew against the car. Then, with a low grunt, he pushed off just as quickly.
Carter!
That was someone else. Maybe Jean? My heart was pounding in my ears as I moved even closer. My fingers grabbed onto the leather exterior, but I couldn't get a good grasp. I was still kneeling on the floor, and moved over until I was at the edge of the open door. Bang! Bang! I jerked back, eyes wide. My heart jumped up into my throat. It was right there, ready to burst out of me, but then I gritted my teeth. I was a part of this. I was the reason for this. I had to see. As I stuck my head out of the car, three pairs of legs blocked my view. They had formed a living wall to my open door, and I fell to the ground. A burning sensation registered with me, but it was so far away. I barely felt it. I would deal with it later. As I knelt there, I peeked between their legs. They had planted with their arms raised and guns pointed outwards. I saw Carter in the distance. He was behind a car that had stopped behind us. Another was left abandoned to the side. All of its doors were open, and a fire had started from inside. As the flames leapt higher, smoke filled the night sky. It was becoming overwhelming, but I couldn't look away from Carter. A streetlight glowed above him, and I watched him lift a man to his feet, hit him with the butt of his gun, and let him fall to the ground, unconscious. Then he looked around. He looked calm. He wasn't alarmed, like me, but no, he wasn't calm. He was enlivened. I sucked in my breath. His eyes narrowed. He raised his gun and thumbed off two bullets. A body fell against the front of the other car and slid to the ground. A gun scattered on the ground next to him. It slid all the way to our car and underneath. It was behind the tire closest to me, and I reached for it. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I needed to help. I needed to do something. As I gritted my teeth, I stretched my arm out farther. The tips of my fingers brushed the metal. It was hot and burned me, so I knocked it to the